This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Healthcare professionals and clergy here locally are joining together to tackle mental health issues in our community. The Health Collaborative and Bexar County is hosting the second annual conference, Pathway to Hope. The conference includes educators, social workers, criminal justice representatives, and groups like the San Antonio Clubhouse. What issues surrounding mental health in our community do you want to see addressed? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Did you go to the conference last year? What did you see? What did you experience? How did you benefit from that? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. With us this afternoon to discuss the topic, we're joined by Doug Beach. He's a board member for the Bexar County Health Collaborative, president of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in San Antonio, and chairperson for the Pathway to Hope Conference. Mark Stolce is with us. He's the executive director of the San Antonio Clubhouse, and Reverend Carol Moorhead is here. She's associate rector at St. Mark's Episcopal Church and a co-chair for the Pathways to Hope Conference. Talking about mental health this afternoon, we invite you to call in. The number again, 210-614-8980. So, Doug Beach, let me ask you about, you know, how it went last year. You know, just give me a progress report. We had you here last year, and now.
Right. And thank you for having us last year and again this year. We were overwhelmed and amazed at the turnout. We had over 1,400 people attend the conference over the two-day period, and over 460 different faith communities were represented. People came from all over San Antonio, Bexar County. They came from Austin, from near West Texas, South Texas, all up and down 35. And I think what it showed us is how big the need is and how important it is for people to be able to come together and talk about oftentimes a subject that is not easily talked about. And it was talked about not just in a medical way or a law enforcement way. It was talked about by people by families who have somebody affected by mental illness, by individuals who are living with a mental illness. So it was a great outpouring and a wonderful way to begin a community conversation on how to break the stigma.
The second annual Pathway to Hope Mental Health Conference is August 11th and 12th at the Tobin Center, and it's free, open to the public, no cost to attend. All sorts of mental health professionals are there, people who provide services in town, people who are clergy and professional. Well, let me ask about the role that clergy play in this endeavor. Reverend Carol Moorhead, can you talk about that?
Yeah. So we know that when someone is experiencing some sort of mental health concern in their own lives or in the life of a loved one, that they often turn to their faith community. And so one of our goals is to have the faith community be part of the broader conversation about how we can really work together to affect change, how we can change the narrative that we often have in churches, which is, I'm not going to talk about this. It might mean that I don't have enough faith, or that it's sinful to have this happen in my family. And if I'm depressed, then I'm not praying hard enough. And so we really want to kind of break down those misconceptions and talk about a much more holistic understanding of how our faith empowers us and how we work together in collaboration with all different kinds of healing, treatment modalities, communities of belonging, all of these pieces work together. And so Pathways is one way that we hope that people in faith communities will kind of break open that conversation and talk a little more openly about their own experiences in their own lives and their families, and also how they found hope and healing. And so a lot of our speakers have their own personal experience with depression, with anxiety, with bipolar disease, and how their faith community was a really important part of their healing.
But what if ye are of little faith and you're not exactly looking for conversion therapy here? You want to go, but many people in the clergy, like yourself, have actually been trained in dealing with people who have mental health issues.
That's true. That's true. I think a lot of people in the clergy have, we obviously have a lot of experience, and a lot of us have a lot of training, because the reality is we tend to think when we have any kind of a mental health crisis that it's them against us. You know, there's those people out there who have this, and then there's us. But it's really just all us. We all either have that in our life or know someone who has. We know 1 in 5 people will experience some sort of mental health crisis during any given year. And I think clergy do have kind of a unique place and perspective to be able to be a place of open arms without judgment, where if someone says, oh, ye have little faith, it's not about how much faith you have. It's about how we can enter into something together and begin to look for some healing. God does offer a lot of hope.
And Mark Stoci, over at the Clubhouse, how long have you been at the Clubhouse?
14 years.
This is one of these great organizations in San Antonio that really depend upon, I mean, it's, I know the Clubhouse is more than you, but without you, I don't know, you've helped so many people. Talk about the Clubhouse.
Well, we're part of an international human rights and recovery movement for adults that are living with mental illness. We started 14 years ago in the basement of a downtown church and have grown today to be one of the largest clubhouses in this part of the United States. And the Clubhouse is kind of a unique approach to working with adults with mental illness because we actually don't focus on a person's illness. We focus on what are the next steps in your recovery? Who are you as a person? And also creating a safe environment where people can develop meaningful relationships, because people that live with serious mental illness, well, any kind of mental illness, when we are not feeling well, we tend to isolate, and it's the worst thing we can do. So first and foremost, we offer a community where people can have human connections with other people and volunteer their time as part of a community, because by helping other people, you're helping yourself.
It's a very welcoming environment. People who feel like they just need to go hang out with some people, it's a great place to go.
It is. It is. It's been a wonderful experience, and we've seen a lot of really strong recovery. You know, I talk to folks about the Clubhouse all the time, and what we do is not rocket science. When you treat people with dignity and respect and focus on what they'd like to achieve and going back to work, going back to school, reconnecting with family, living independently, all those things that we all want that many times are out of the reach of people living with mental illness.
And how are you incorporating the Clubhouse into the conference?
Well, we presented last year at the conference, and we're encouraging our members and their family members to go to the conference this year. I will be there because I too believe that faith communities have an important role to play in mental health recovery.
And, okay, so we'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. We're talking about the Pathway to Hope Conference. It's encouraging productive community conversations about mental health in San Antonio. What do you want to see discussed? There's a lot of denial, a lot of people who just don't want to talk about it, a lot of, you know, shame talking about mental health in San Antonio, but we got to get over that in order to deal with the actual issues that we have and let people know that there is help available in our community. Give us a call if you got a question or a comment. You want to talk about your experience. We're all ears here. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Pathways to Hope, a mental health conference. It's going to be held next weekend at the Tobin Center. It's free, open to the public. We're going to have all sorts of educators, social workers, criminal justice representatives, and people from the clergy, and also organizations like the San Antonio Clubhouse will be there showing folks what's available to help them deal with the mental health challenges that they have with themselves and their lives, or maybe with someone that they know and that they love. You can give us a call. Got a question or a comment. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about what issues are there here locally that we need to address when it comes to mental health. And Eric has called in. And let's get Eric on the line. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I just would like to know, I'm concerned about somebody who has social phobia or social anxiety disorders, another name for it. I'd like to know what kind of resources are available to help get over that and also to help support getting him back into employment again, because with being socially phobic, he's afraid of being judged and doesn't want to go out. He's afraid of going out to work because, you know, he's going to be judged for not having had a job for so long. it's an issue.
It
so
is.
Are there any support groups available for that?
Eric, thank you for the call. That is a great question. I sure do appreciate that. Let me ask you, Mark Stolce, over at San Antonio Clubhouse. Is this something that you see over there?
Yes, and it's a big part of what we do. You know, the clubhouse during the day is where folks that are living with a mental illness can have a place to come and feel safe and feel open and practice those socialization skills. And in the process, learn tangible skills that are transferable to the workplace. We have an employment program to help our members go back to work. We have over 100 of our members working today. We develop relationships with employers in the community, go with our members. We job coach our members to help them transition back into the workplace.
All right. And Doug?
NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is here in San Antonio, and we offer free educational classes and support groups. So the Connection Support Group is for people living with a diagnosis who are there with other people who have similar issues, and they can and they exchange information, they learn how to deal with it. We also have a class called NAMI Peer-to-Peer, which is taught by somebody who's been in recovery, through recovery, in their own mental illness, and it's made up of people who are trying to get to recovery. Those, the tools that they learn and how to think about and approach their own recovery are very helpful. The other thing that NAMI does is we have family-to-family classes, and these are all free. And because it's much better and much easier for somebody to overcome those mental health issues when they have support, not just from other people living with an illness, but from their family or from their caregiver or from friends. So those classes are free. We teach those throughout the year throughout San Antonio.
Reverend Carol Moorhead, this is something, this is social anxiety disorder, is something that is more widespread than we probably are willing to admit, and it particularly is difficult for the younger set. This is something that hits people who are in their 20s quite hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be very difficult because people feel a lot of shame, as Eric said, his friend, about, you know, not having a job, and how do you say to your friends, oh, I don't have a job because I, you know, have this fear of going out, and it's so heavy that I can't go into kind of normal life. I think people don't realize that one of the huge impacts of having any kind of a social anxiety is the impact on employment and also on just kind of participating in everyday life. I mean, I know in faith
communities. But it's torture to feel that
way. It is. It's definitely torture. And so part of, I think, healing is being able to find some place, a person, a community to talk about that with and find out that you may not be as alone as you think you are, because it is very isolating. And so reach out to, if you have a faith community, reach out to your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, your imam, and take that risk, because they can help you, they can listen, and they can perhaps help plug you into some of the kind of resources that Mark and Doug were talking about. And I think the deeper kind of course, my framework is very theological. The framework is that, you know, we live in a world that often leads us, can be very overwhelming, and we sometimes need that kind of deep sense of God and of a place of love and acceptance, just who we are as a person, that we are not a diagnosis, and that there is hope in the midst of that when we can begin to really tap into feeling loved. And so I think that's where faith can be a really important component to healing.
Also realizing that people aren't judging you. People aren't there. People, everyone is, you have to come up with the mindset that everybody wants you to be there. Everybody wants you to do well.
Absolutely.
We're not trying to run people down. And, you know, it is a welcoming society.
Right.
People in San Antonio are very loving. And if Eric's friend is listening, just know that no one is judging you. We're supporting you. We're cheering for you.
Absolutely.
And we want you to succeed. So, you know, let's go on to the next caller. Tony's on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Mental illness. Many times when people hear the term mental illness, they probably think of schizophrenia or mental retardation. But, you know, there are, like, autism is a form of mental illness, depression, alcoholism is an acquired mental illness, drug abuse. And the thing is that you have to treat, you can't treat people all one size fits all. You know, you need to find out, you know, what their diagnosis is. Or, you know, some people, they're constantly dependent on other people. Some people can live independently, but they need occasional assistance. And so what we need are programs that don't put everyone in one category.
Got it, Tony. Thank you so much for the call. Doug Beach, you are the president of the National Alliance on Mental Health, Mental Illness in San Antonio. So to Tony's point.
I think resources in San Antonio are relatively scarce for people who are living with a mental illness. So one of the things that we want to do through the conference is create a larger sense of community so that people who are feeling that they have a need to address a mental health issue, people can do that openly and in the community in general. And I think part of what we did last year, what we'll do this year, is we've begun to have a community conversation about some of the different types of mental illness that the caller just mentioned. But I think what we need to realize is that we're all part of this. You know, we all have a role. And when one in five, as Carol said, when one in five people are going to have a mental health disorder in any given year, that means basically we all know somebody or have somebody in our family, but we know people who are suffering. And so we want to try to create a better dynamic in the community of acceptance and support.
But as the caller was talking about all these different types of mental illness that we have in our community, and one he mentioned was our substance abuse problems that we have here, and you have to wonder if, you know, why this is important, why it's important that we find pathways to hope for many of the people who are struggling, because if we don't, then they're going to find, you know, self-medication, maybe alcohol, then maybe even something harder, and then they're just going to be debilitated because their addiction will take over in their lives. So, Reverend Carol Moorhead, is that why you see, you know, how this could be a way to try to help people before it gets to that point?
Yeah, and I, you know, Tony's comments made me think about, you know, one size does not fit all in any kind of medical thing. And
that's why we call them a case. And we take them as a case-by-case basis. Everyone
right.
is seen as an individual. We don't try to put everyone in a big basket.
Exactly. And so the language we use matters. And so one of the things we're going to have at this conference is we're going to have a great session about what our brain does with substances, about addiction, and about how we all have a brain that does certain things in substances. And so those people who are struggling with substance abuse, substance addiction, it'll help those people understand, as well as the people around them, understand kind of what's going on with your brain. We have sessions about depression. We have sessions about a lot of these individual kinds of things, so that if you have a loved one or yourself are experiencing some of those symptoms, it's an entry point into having a broader conversation and not feeling like you're just in one big basket.
Okay, let's go to caller with Linda. And Linda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
Been great.
I'm actually a member of the San Antonio Clubhouse, and I just wanted to call in and say thank you to the Clubhouse. It has helped me change my life, turn my life around, and I just wanted to share my appreciation.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about how they did that?
Well, I was very isolated and dealing with a lot of different aspects of my mental illness, also some circumstantial stuff going on in my life. And when I came to the Clubhouse, it helped me to realize that I am a person with worth and value, that I have skills and talents that I can share with the rest of the world, and that I matter. And I gained so much confidence and so much strength within myself because of the Clubhouse teaching me that.
Linda, thank you so much for calling in and telling us that story. We appreciate that. Mark Stolce, Executive Director of the San Antonio Clubhouse. Talk about Linda. What is she telling you right now?
Well, Linda's an amazing person. She came to us, oh gosh, I'm going to say 3.5 years ago, and just has made incredible progress. She's a member of our board of directors now. She's on the Clubhouse International faculty, which means that she travels to other clubhouses to accredit them. Her recovery's been amazing, and something that she said to one of our board members a long time ago really encapsulates what Clubhouse is about. She said that I came here because I was in desperate need of help, and now I get to help other people. And that's recovery right there.
She mentioned that she was in isolation, and that's a big problem that we have these days. People are stuck in, they're online, they're not getting out and mixing and mingling with people and engaging. They're not realizing that isolation, that's a problem for them.
It is, and it's interesting. When I've talked to some of our folks about isolating, the reasons that people isolate are often not what you think, because I'll talk to them and they'll say, well, I'm feeling bad and I don't want to come to the clubhouse because I don't want other people to feel bad.
Mm.
So they don't want to have that negative impact on other people. So, yeah.
And so what do you tell them?
We encourage them to come to the clubhouse. I mean, we've had, you know, living with a serious mental illness can be really scary, especially when, you know, you feel it's time that you need to go into the hospital. That's a very difficult decision for someone to make. Sometimes the decision is not made for them, but we've seen folks come in and just by virtue of connecting with other people that can understand them, many times another member, they decide they don't need to go to the hospital. It's just, again, that human connection. I can't say enough about how important that is in a person managing their mental illness.
And so where is the clubhouse now?
We're at 410 and Fredericksburg Road on the northwest corner of 410 and Fredericksburg.
Okay, tell me more, because it's kind of, there's a lot going on.
So we're situated between the old La Fonda restaurant and Frost Bank.
Okay. Yeah. And is it a big building or?
Pretty big building. It's a two-story office building.
And people, can you just show up or how does that work?
We ask people to call first just so we know we're coming, but we have a lot of folks that just walk in the door, so you're welcome. We're not a clinical program, so if a person walks in and says, I'm experiencing mental illness and I think I could benefit from coming here, that's all the criteria they need to meet.
And so you just kind of just hang out and talk to people?
There is some hanging out and talking to folks, but really what we're designed to be is a productive workplace. So when you walk into the clubhouse, you're really not going to see folks sitting around watching TV and playing board games. The clubhouse is a vital working community that works because our members are volunteering their time.
All right. We can learn more about the clubhouse and other organizations in San Antonio that help folks dealing with mental health issues at the Pathways to Hope Conference. That's going to be next weekend at the Tobin Center. It's free and open to the public. We're talking about mental health issues in San Antonio this afternoon. We invite you to call in. This is the second annual Pathways to Hope Conference. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about some of the services and that are provided by the National Alliance on Mental Illness here in San Antonio, and also talking about some of the other faith-based issues, availability, how mental health professionals and the clergy are joining together with the with this Pathways to Hope Conference. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues when we come back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. One in five Americans have experienced a mental health condition in their lifetime, and many find it difficult to get the support they need. There's a lot of reasons for that. We have a problem with access to mental health care here locally. There's also a stigma. People are reluctant frequently to stand up and say, I need some help right now. Other people may not even realize that they're dealing with a mental health condition. They're undiagnosed. Undiagnosed depression is something that I think is a really big deal that we need to talk about this afternoon. And we are talking about mental health conditions, mental health problems here locally. We're joined by Doug Beach. He's the board member for the Bexar County Health Collaborative, president of the National Alliance on Mental Illness in San Antonio. He's the chairperson for the Pathways to Hope Conference. Mark Stolce is here, executive director of the San Antonio Clubhouse, and Reverend Carol Moorhead, associate rector at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, co-chair for the Pathways to Hope Conference. And that conference is next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend at the Tobin Center. So, Doug Beach, let me ask you about the National Alliance on Mental Illness in San Antonio. What kind of services do y'all provide?
First of all, NAMI is the largest grassroots organization in the United States. There's almost 1,000 affiliates. We're one of those affiliates in this community. We educate, advocate, and support. So we provide free educational classes. When a family sees a behavior that they don't recognize in one of their family members, and they need to learn about what that is, we offer classes, a family-to-family class.
What does that mean? I mean, give me an example.
It's everything from when sleep habits start changing, you mentioned substance abuse issues earlier, that oftentimes accompanies the onset of a mental illness. It can be, when you don't recognize a behavior, when it seems out of character with the person that you've known, that's a clue. And so what we do is we help provide, in fact, one of the things we do in one of our first classes is we give people a checklist of signs and symptoms, and we ask them to go down that and just check the ones that apply to their family member. And, son of a gun, before long you realize you've filled up almost the whole page. That's when you know you have an illness, and that's oftentimes the first time that a family will say, I think I'm dealing with more than just teenage issues or things like that. I think I may be dealing with some type of mental illness, and I need to learn more. So then we help provide the education on the brain chemistry, on how to communicate, on being empathetic, learning that you go from, why can't you get up out of bed because you're so depressed? Why can't you get up out of bed and get a job? And you go to the other place, which is, I don't know how you get up out of bed because I now understand how difficult it is to live with depression. So we give families that perspective. And then we give them, I like to say that they come to us in crisis. And at the end of a 12-week period, the illness has not gone away. But what you do have is a sense of, this is a lifelong illness, and now I think I know enough about it, and I have some tools and resources to begin to provide support for my family member and loved one. So that's an example of the kind of free educational classes that we offer. We also provide advocacy. So we are a major voice in both Texas and nationally on legislation, on programs to support people with a mental illness. And we provide support. We have support groups around San Antonio. Some are faith-based, some are not. But it's we had one two nights ago that I lead, and one of the comments I hear almost every time is, if I didn't have this group to come to, I don't know what I'd do because I can't talk to anybody else about this. People don't understand what it's like to have somebody in their family living with a mental illness. And so we provide that kind of support. We also provide information and a network of where to go get care. So, for example, we will talk about doctors or hospitals or medications, and we compare notes. So that's the kind of support that NAMI gives. Everything we do is free. And that's one of the reasons why, frankly, the conference is free. We want to take away the impediments for people to begin to learn and get involved in providing better mental health care for their family members and themselves.
A lot there. We're going to get back to some of these things you brought up. There's a lot. We can dive in at any point where you just mentioned and have an hour, I think. But let's get a caller on the air. Stitch is on the line. And Stitch, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you guys for using my stage name. I appreciate that. I have a lot of friends in the music community that suffer from depression as well as myself. I've been suffering depression and suicidal thoughts since the age of 8 years old. Grew up in a really traumatized household. And when I did, I fought it off for almost 30 years. I recently had a breakdown last November to where I thought the world was going to end. I went to check in to see if I could get help at Methodist because that's where I was told to go. Well, Methodist stripped me of all my rights. I had to call 911. I had to get them to come and help me to get me out of the hospital because they tried to detain me beyond my rights. I was going there for help. They treated me like I was a criminal. This is one of the things that people are afraid of. You get put into this situation and you feel like there's no way to get out. I really applaud this convention that you guys are doing, because there's so many people out there that like me. I'm a musician, once again. I don't make a lot of money. So to go and to find out resources to where you can get help for what you're suffering is just absolutely phenomenal, and I applaud you guys so much for this. Thank you so much for doing it.
Stitch, thank you for the call. Stitch brings up a lot of issues involved about how difficult it is to access care, and then sometimes when you reach out for help, you may not get the help that you actually want. Can you talk about that, Doug, a little bit?
Well, he raises so many good points, and I think one of the things that we are trying to do again through the conference is we need to all become more knowledgeable about mental health, where the resources are, and that when you, for example, like Stitch, reached out to get help, and maybe he didn't find the help that he needed, where else can you turn? And so we're bringing, one of the things we saw last year at the conference was when we looked out across the audience, we saw people from every walk of life, we saw people, family members, consumers, we saw just about everybody, and it was a great time to be able to talk about kind of, I'm in this situation, what do I do?
And so Mark Stolce over at San Antonio Clubhouse, as you talk to many of the, your clients who hang out there, come. What's their main complaint about trying to access care?
Well, as Doug said, there is a lack of resources in San Antonio. So it's there's a, particularly for people with that are low income, there are not a lot of resources out there. I read, I think on the NAMI website, that 2/3 of people that are living with a mental illness don't seek treatment. I don't know all the reasons for that. I think it's partially the stigma that we talk about around mental illness. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to speak to a civic group or a church group, and there's a Q&A at the end, and I get no questions. And then when I'm out in the parking lot getting in my car, someone comes up to me and says, I have a brother or a son. Or there's so much shame around it. And, you know, I think it's there's just so much to be done. I mean, diagnosis is important. That's what helps you get the treatment you need. But I think it's also really important that we help folks to understand that that's not their identity. It's an illness like anything else. You're a human being. And so many of the folks that come to us, they're reminded everywhere they go that they're sick. And the more that you can focus on who you are as a person, the more recovery happens.
But there is a large spectrum of people who have mental health illnesses. Many of them need a lot of supervision, they need a lot of care, they need heavy treatment to end. But Reverend Carol Moorhead, there are also people who just need some attention and some talking to, and they don't need to be hospitalized, but they just need what?
Yeah, so I like to think of it, or I use the term in my mind, the walking wounded. That there are a lot of people, you know, the most common kinds of this mental health issues that come up are depression and anxiety, also addiction, and a lot of people feel like, well, that's it's not serious enough for me to tell someone, or I don't want to tell someone because they'll think the wrong thing, or I'll be ashamed, and so. That is where I do think faith communities really can come in, because, to go and talk to someone and say, you know, I'm depressed. If you can say that and find that that's okay and that there's help that you can get and that you can continue and that you're not your diagnosis, you're not a bad person, you're experiencing kind of the overwhelmingness of life, and the way that you experience it is really heavy.
Doug.
One of the things to respond to Stitch that we do at NAMI is I often get phone. We take phone calls all the time. It's another part of what we do in San Antonio. People calling in looking for help, people who need to talk. But we also get phone calls like Stitch's that say, I went to so-and-so and I had a problem with my treatment. I will personally, and we have staff in our office, we personally do follow up on some of the harder cases where somebody did have a problem. And we hope, you know, what we do by that is establish some communication with the healthcare provider. and talk through what the circumstance is. If that person is, if the caller wants us to do that follow-up and they ask us to, we do that. In other words, we help advocate for people who often don't have anybody to advocate for them.
All right. We're going to take another break. We're going to continue our conversation talking about the second annual Pathways to Hope Conference in San Antonio. They have a website, pathwaystohope.net. It's going to be August 11th and 12th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's going to be each day at the Tobin Center. Going to come back with some more calls. Number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about mental health in San Antonio. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Pathways to Hope Conference, and it is a collaboration of many organizations and individuals and faith-based communities here in San Antonio, talking about how we can do a better job of talking about mental health in this community and delivering services and helping people access those services. Got a question from Jessica on our Twitter line. She says the best ways to address and inform student populations on Texas campuses regarding mental health services. So how can students, you know, we see that this is a problem that when you're in college, we see a lot of that's a time when a lot of mental health issues become evident, and they want to know if there's places on campus they can go to.
Well, I think today it's a huge issue, and because of the fact that 50% of all mental illness begins by age 14, 75% by age 24, means that especially students who are leaving high school, those who are going on to college, they're at risk, and so we. There are resources on many campuses. We'll have a speaker at our conference who is going to have a workshop on what parents should know before their child goes away to college to how to address mental health issues. Students who maybe have had problems in high school, this is an important topic about how are they going to manage when they do get to college. They can oftentimes do very, very well, but not if they don't prepare. So Dr. Susan Calloway, who's on the faculty at Texas Tech Medical School and works to train nurse practitioners, will be doing a workshop on just this topic. We also have three representatives from different school districts who will be at the conference and will be doing a workshop on mental health in our schools. And so we have three people coming in who are trying new innovative approaches in high school. You know, if people just wait to college, if they're going to college, if they just wait till then to address some of these issues, it may be too late. So we need to do a better job. NAMI has a new program called Ending the Silence, and we'll be bringing that to San Antonio. And it's students talking about their own mental health issues because we find they are the best connectors with other students.
And Reverend Carroll?
We also have this year, we've added a youth event on Friday night at the Tobin Center, and it's free and open to anyone, and it's all youth. They're doing the program. They're going to talk about their own journeys and their own struggles. And sometimes I think having that peer relationship is really, really important. And so I would encourage any youth in San Antonio who...
Like, what do you mean by youth?
High school, college.
High school, college, young
late
adults.
High school, young, yeah.
Okay, Mark Stolce.
Well, talking about young people, the clubhouse right now, it just finished up a youth adult program. A youth program for young adults, actually, youth young adults, in collaboration with the Bexar County Health Collaborative. So it was a 2-week pilot project that brought together a group of young people to determine a young person living with mental illness, what are their needs? And what we discovered is there's a lot of hesitancy on the part of young people to talk about mental illness. It's and they're looking for opportunities for socialization, to be accepted by their friends and family, and to be helped with the same things we all want help with career, education, and so forth.
But treatment helps.
Oh, no question.
Makes a big difference. There is hope out there, and if you engage, you will feel better. That's what this is all about, right? Getting out of nodding heads.
Right.
Absolutely. That is exactly what it's about.
You know, it's in what we do talk about, though, is it's not just the medication. It's oftentimes therapy, but it's also living in a supportive environment, a supportive family environment, is diet, exercise, sleep habits, and patterns. All those things combine, and what we find is when people look at their whole life together and they're getting exercise, they have a good diet, they're sleeping well, their need, if they have medication needs, those needs typically go down because their body's all working together. It's a holistic approach to mental health, which I think is a great new approach.
I'm going to take a caller here. John is on the line. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a psychologist here in San Antonio, so I provide therapies and do evaluations and research. So I'm very interested in this topic and want to make a couple of points. One, we need to talk more about mental health being brain-related, that's actually a physical phenomenon, in the same way we think about other diseases. And that might help to reduce the stigma around it. These must be treated like any other medical condition. And the second point I would make is we talk a lot about disorders where they cause a lot of distress to a person and create a lot of problems for them and their families. But there's another set of disorders out there that are underdiagnosed that cause problems for other people, and these are the personality disorders that I think are vastly underdiagnosed, particularly narcissistic personality disorder. Someone with that disorder can cause real suffering and pain for other people, and I would like for us to open up that discussion as well.
All right, John, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So, Doug, you want to address that?
Well, first of all, I agree completely with the caller. We talk about in NAMI, we talk about mental illness as being a medical illness. It's a imbalance of the biochemistry in the brain. And we sometimes compare it to other illnesses, and we say, you know, you're not afraid or embarrassed to talk about things like cancer or heart disease or a lot of other medical illnesses, and we shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about a mental illness, which is a physical and mental illness. As far as the personality disorders, I've been working with groups and teaching NAMI classes for years now, and the personality disorders are some of the most difficult to deal with, and there's so many circumstances today that create those personality disorders. John is completely correct.
Well, I'm kind of confused. So is the personality disorder, I mean, is it because someone in your life is toxic? They're the personality disorder and they're giving you mental health, or is it something that you have? I mean, I don't know.
Well, there are a lot of disorders. And, you know, without going through a whole list of them, for example, one of the cases I think today that's unfortunately very prevalent are kids who come out of the foster care system. They've been abused as kids oftentimes, and they suffer from these personality disorders.
Like dissociative disorders.
Right, exactly. It's very difficult to deal with.
Another caller, Sarah. And Sarah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a licensed mental health provider here in San Antonio, and I just wanted to say a bit about what Stitch was saying about, you know, feeling as if he was stripped of his rights. And unfortunately, patients sometimes do feel that way. But from my perspective as a provider, you know, we're bound by ethics, by JCO, by statutes, by our hospitals to try to take care of the patients and care for their safety. So when a patient comes in, and if they have to be on an emergency detention or on an order of protective custody, it's really to try to protect them, you know, from hurting themselves or someone else. So that's my comment, and thank you to everyone for bringing this up. It's a very important subject.
Sarah, thank you for calling in with that, because I know that if you are a mental health provider, you're dealing with just as people who are difficult to deal with, and it can be challenging. You can feel compassion fatigue at times. It's a challenge, and then you have all of these regulations that are on top of things. So, and Doug, so what do we say to these folks?
Well, to mental health providers and so on, it is a tough job, and we don't have enough people providing mental health care. We need more nurses. We need practitioners. We need more psychiatrists. At the same time, I think what we want to do is listen. It's one of the most important skills that we learn in NAMI is we want to listen to people as they go through their care and try to be responsive. The caller's very correct in pointing out, you know, a lot of the issues that, well, how they have to take care of people. What we want to do is we want to make sure that that care is compassionate and is person-centered.
And if you're a mental health professional, if you go to the Pathways to Hope event, do you think this is an opportunity to recharge your batteries, you know?
I think it's an opportunity to recharge your batteries, but also to get into conversation with a broad base of people in the community.
So we have kind of different things that are going to appeal to different people at the conference. I think if you're a mental health care professional, we have some of the leading experts in the field who are going to be talking about some, you know, research and some kind of inspirational things and some ongoing things. We've got Sydney Hankerson from Columbia University. We've got Warren Kinghorn from Duke. We've got Paul Summergrad, who was the president of the American Psychiatric Association a couple years ago, from Tufts University. So we've got some really top-notch people coming to kind of talk about some of those things. In faith communities, we've got a track, like I said, for pastors, faith leaders, that looks at how we understand mental illness, because sometimes for a pastor, someone can come in and say, well, my child is cutting themselves. And as a pastor, you may not know of all of the implications of that or what to do with that. So we're going to talk about some symptoms and how you can help people get help. And then for consumers, peers, hopefully it's a time of inspiration. And there's a lot of people who are going to share their own journey of, I was depressed, here's how I found hope.
And Mark Stolce, any last words from you about the clubhouse?
I'm just very blessed to be part of it. It's a wonderful community, and would like folks to know that it's free. We're not clinical, so we don't work with insurance. Just walk in the door and come see what we're about.
Pathways to Hope is going to be at the Tobin Center. It's August 11th and 12th, and members of the public are invited. There is no cost to attend. All sorts of different topics, a range of fundamental issues are going to be talked about and on the table for about mental illness, finding help, and conversations about how this community can do a better job of delivering help community-wide. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in.